You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles and he falls.
Oh, I love it when I get the call from Bob Papa. There's that. There's his speed. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's go.
What was that?
He said he was trying to run faster. I mean, I think that was the right move. Game 3 of the World Series. This pitching matchup going in is great. You know what that usually means. It means it'll turn into a 10-9 game with 14 pitching changes. But going in is great. Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton, both with postseason ERAs you can count on one finger. George Sedano, you're in Los Angeles. I want to start with you. Who do you like in tonight's pitching matchup? Which team do you like tonight? And how pivotal is this pivotal Game 3?
Well, I'll start with your last question. I don't believe it's that pivotal. 64% of teams that win a Game 3 after being tied 1-1 go on to win the series. So there's plenty of room there for a team that loses to win. I do think that for the Dodgers, it's important for Walker Buehler to have a great start, Tony. And look, as you mentioned, Charlie Morton has been fantastic. A 0.57 ERA thus far this postseason. But here's the thing with the Dodgers. The roof is going to be closed at Globe Life Field today, which I think is going to be more of a singles park today. You're not going to see as many home runs. I think that will help the pitchers, but they also have to be patient against Morton. His batting average against goes from 236 the first time that you see him to 281 the second time you see him to 381 the third time you see him. So I think the Dodgers kind of gave one away by playing the bullpen game in the last one. That's not their forte. That's the Rays deal. And I think they need to have a great start by Walker Buehler, which they will, and be patient with Morton. I like the Dodgers tonight.
You brought up this ballpark and the roof being closed. Tim, you know this ballpark being, I don't know what you know about this ballpark, honestly. The opposing teams have hit more home runs than the Rangers did in your ballpark this year, Tim. But please go ahead on how pivotal this Game 3 is.
It's just Corey Seager. Corey Seager.
Yeah, he's got the most home runs in the history of the ballpark. Doesn't play for the Rangers. Nice team.
Rangers are going to fix that by next August. Somebody's going to pass it. Let me say this. I think I got to take Walker Buehler just because it's the logical thing. I mean, he's a very talented young pitcher. People knew what he was going to be, and he's pretty much been that. Charlie Morton, the first 8 or 9 years of his career, there was nothing to suggest this was going to happen. And then he turned it around in Houston, did not have a good regular season at all. Whatever the regular season was this year, 9 starts. But again, he's been really good in the postseason. But give me the guy who's good all the time and the better team. So I got to go with Dodgers and Buehler.
Sarah Spain, how pivotal is a Game 3?
Well, to George's point, even if you do look at previous statistics, it's not overwhelmingly in favor of the team that wins. But I also think you can mostly throw away those statistics because it's a neutral field. There's no travel. There's no home and away advantage. The idea of which number of games we're in and what's going to happen after, I think, is less important. And we saw 2 great CS series that went 7. So I think that it's hard to say it's over like Plaschke tries to do all the time in every single sport.
Oh my God.
I think that it's... funny that Tim said it's more logical to pick Buehler because Charlie Morton's 0.57 and 5-0 record with the Rays is the greatest of all time. Yeah. The best ERA through 5 starts with a team ever. So for me, logically, who you got is going to be the guy with the greatest ERA of all time that hasn't been beaten yet. That being said, I don't think that either of these guys are probably going to make it through the entire game. I'm not getting complete games from either. And I think the Dodgers have that advantage late in the game, deep in the game, to George's point with the way the numbers go. So I've got Morton's start, but the Dodgers...
There was a couple to George's points in your answer there, Sarah, which is not a great tactical move on a round.
Don't need to repeat them.
And also, there was a clause you used to start a sentence that is a banned clause on this show. Sarah Spain going the wrong way. Bob Ryan, how pivotal is a Game 3? And you got these 2 great starting ERAs. Is it going to be a great pitching game or one of those 10-9 games?
It's game three, all right, out of a potential seven. It's just game three. I laugh at all these times people say, well, they haven't done this since then. They haven't done that since then. Here's the odds. Here's the odds. Look, everything is true until it's not true. That's the only way you should look at all these things always. So if they lose, whoever loses, I don't think they have to go into a therapy to get ready for game four, okay?
Nothing wrong with going to therapy, by the way, Bob Ryan. I just want to say that, yeah.
As far as matchup is concerned, it's a wonderful matchup on paper. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be great to think that each of them would be facing a batter with two outs in the seventh inning tonight? I'm not asking for nine. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. But I would consider it it'd be a modern masterpiece if we and matchup if we each get seven out of both of them. As to who's the better one, it's a toss-up. Of course,
we didn't even get an answer from Bob there the entire time then. Thank you very much. Tim Callis, show you one back in, please.
Yeah, and at the risk of creating a runaway situation here, the best point was made by George, and it was the roof.
Oh, boy.
Because the first 2 months the Rangers played
there,
the roof was always closed, and we thought nobody's ever going
to
hit home runs in this park. Then they opened it, and there was a little more airflow.
All right, nobody's asking. That's fine. That's great. Wonderful. George, man, just take the rest of the show off. Bob Ryan, let me ask you
just
this.
Just keep talking about my great points.
I'm hearing a conversation here about Mookie Betts taking over the mantle, pun intended, kind of being the best player in the game versus Mike Trout. Are you all for that best player in the game conversation from Mookie Betts? Are we there?
It's a great conversation. It's a great conversation. Mookie Betts, look, the difference between the two at the present time is that Mookie Betts has got a chance to showcase his five tools, skills, and Mike Trout sitting home watching saying, why can't I do it? Have a chance to do this? Mike Trout has a slight edge in power. Mookie Betts is the best base runner I have seen in my adult lifetime. I won't say lifetime because Jackie Robinson was playing. But since I've been aware and knowledge of baseball, this is the best all-around base runner, combination of speed, savvy, instinct, and that is an incredible plus.
And George in Los Angeles, the love affair with Mookie is off the rails right now, understandably. But Mike Trout plays there, too. I mean, who's the best player?
Yes, yes. But he plays for the team that people don't care as much about. There's that part of the equation, too. But Mookie's the better defender, even though he plays right field. We haven't seen Mike Trout make those kind of catches and game-saving plays in a while now. Offensively, though, Trout is definitely better. So we will give the edge, even though Mookie did have a better season this year. But the edge on offense goes to Trout, which I think gives him the edge overall. And look, it reminds me a lot of when we were trying to anoint Steph Curry in 2016 as the best player in the NBA, and then LeBron James said, oh, remember me? So okay. I think there's a little of that here, too.
It's not bad, but it's also going to another sport for your analogy, which I don't particularly condone. Point off for Mr. George Sedano, who's already been given the win today by this panel, but we'll move on. New York Philly, Thursday Night Football. Oh, boy. It gave us everything we wanted it, though, didn't it? We're going to talk about Daniel Jones' trip in a second. First, the results, which would have been different if Engram catches that ball. But it's how Carson Wentz ended this game with the pass to Boston and the 359 yards, first time over 300 this season, and three touchdowns and one turnover. With Wentz and this division, are you seeing a glass half full or half empty, Bob Ryan?
I'm seeing a glass half full. Yes, I think so. We've seen what this guy's capable of. And various stages of his career, the thing that Philly people are always saying is, why can't we see it a little more, a lot more often and show some consistency? But yes, I would be feeling good about him right now. That was a big boy, big moment performance with two comebacks that were untainted. As a matter of fact, he had to overcome a ridiculously stupid penalty in order to throw the winning touchdown. And I'm not stupid because it was called. It was stupid because the guy did it. And I think he's on a good
situation. Tim can't even hold back his laughter. I'm not sure if that's about the NFC East or just about your answer, Bob. But Tim, go ahead, please.
All of it. Just all of it. The glass isn't half full. It's broken. The water's spilling everywhere. it's a total mess. That was not a big boy performance for anybody. I'm sure that pass to Boston Scott, I'm sure Dan Orlovsky is going to run that 15 times and go, see, this guy's great. He makes this throw. And he's going to ignore the fact he leads the NFL in interceptions. He leads the NFL in sacks. He leads the NFL in sacks yards. Yes, he's got problems around him, immense problems. But Carson Wentz is one of those issues. They never should be behind in that game, 21-10 to begin with.
Sarah Spain?
can I say the water is staying still? It's still a disaster, but I feel better about him than I did earlier in the season. But it's impossible to tell what you've got with them because after last week, they had three players from their preseason offensive depth chart starters that were healthy. Three! I mean, how are you even judging this person if he doesn't have the weapons to throw to? He doesn't have the offensive line to protect him? What are you exactly expecting out of him? He was 3 for 4 for 59 yards and a touchdown on the final drive of the game. In the fourth quarter, he was impressive, and he did what needed to be done to get his team to win. Should they have been behind to a bad Giants team? Probably not, but Carson Wentz isn't playing defense as well, and he's not supposed to be the guy catching and running the ball. So,
I asked about the glass, not about the water. Be the water, Sarah Spain, but I'm asking about the glass, George Sedano. Is it half full or half empty?
Of water.
I'm going to go with Bob half full here because he's trending in the right direction, Carson Wentz, and we know the quarterback is the biggest reason for a team's success. The first 3 weeks of the season, PFF, Pro Football Focus, had him ranked 31st in the league. The last 4 weeks, they've had him ranked 9th in the league, and he is getting accustomed to his surroundings where he's been ravaged by, or the team has been ravaged by injuries along the offensive line, wide receiver, and now even to the running back position. So I think he's getting more comfortable. And look, in the fourth quarter, the last two games, he's thrown 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 214 yards,
all right.
118 quarterback rating.
Well, Tim now is laughing at your answer, George. Kalisha, please, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if somebody's 31st for a while and then he's 9th, what does that tell us other than somebody's got a dartboard down at PFF and they're trying to guess where these guys belong?
Come on,
these things
Tim.
Are fluid, up and down. They're all over the place.
The trip.
God forbid we
take
data into
account. We need to talk about the
here.
Trip. Was it a pivotal trip? He pivoted at the 10-yard line. Daniel Jones, I mean, the quote is, I was trying to run faster.
Oh.
Which, you got to give credit for that. This video is going to live forever. That 21 miles per hour he was running at one point was the fastest any quarterback's run in the past 3 years, according to Next Gen. So will this trip stay with Daniel Jones his whole career, Sarah?
Of course not. He's still got 80 yards on the play. He didn't fumble it. They scored on the drive. It was embarrassing.
Whoa.
It was funny. But the end result was positive. It's a dubious honor of, I think, the longest quarterback run without resulting in a touchdown.
But you don't think this stays with him for the rest
Congrats.
Of his career? Of course not. You said Bob Ryan. How about you?
No, I mean, it's a funny clip, but I don't think it's held over him like a butt fumble.
I think getting into the end zone did help that, and that'll be pointed out
in the next
future.
Couple plays, yeah.
But the big thing that they're going to remember is the strip sack, the thing he's famous for, losing the football. He doesn't take care of the ball. That's what they're going to
George
remember.
George Sedano, will this trip be remembered for the rest of Daniel Jones' career?
Kind of like the butt interception we saw from the Jets a couple weeks ago. Hey, by the way, the fifth longest run by a quarterback in the last 25 years behind Kaepernick, behind Pryor, behind Mariota, and behind Cordell Stewart.
Okay, but the butt pick by the Jets last week was an incredible athletic play and a marvel to look at. This, moving forward, is not the most challenging part of playing football. Kalisha, last word.
But it still was a net positive.
It's just that slow motion marathon face as he's running at the end of those 80 yards and he can't finish the deal. That's what's going to live with this guy.
All right, we've been home. We're taking a break. Bob, what's that line you had? Everything is true until it's not. Well, nobody
Everything
was wearing a Tabasco tie in the show
no,
until
true.
You. You're the first to be wearing a Tabasco tie. That's our horn. Taking a break. Buy ourselves next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Two undefeateds meeting in week 7. It's the game of the week, Steelers-Titans. I'm going to say something right now. I want your genuine reaction. Two teams, at least 5-0, have played each other 5 times before in the Super Bowl era. The winner in all 5 of those matchups has gone on to make the Super Bowl. Let me see the reaction right now. Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Sedano, what is the percentage chance the winner of this game makes the Super Bowl?
Who am I to go against history? I'm going to say 99% tone because,
really?
You know what? I'm not an absolutist, so I'm going to give you the 1% wiggle room.
Wait, okay, so, okay, Tim Kalishaw, do you believe this statistic?
34%. There are teams called Baltimore and Kansas City that have something
Sarah
to say
Spade?
About.
Yeah, the Chiefs still exist,
okay.
So I'm going to go around 40%.
That's higher than I thought you would have said. And Bob Ryan, how about you?
68%.
Wow. All right. All right. So that would be a Pittsburgh or Tennessee in the Super Bowl, according to Sedano and Ryan. What decides this game, George Sedano?
No, that's not 100%. I said 68%.
Yes, I know. It's better than half. All right. There we go. Sedano, what decides this game?
It's going to be the defenses. The Titans, they stink. They're second worst in the league in yards and in points, and the Pittsburgh defense is tremendous. The Titans give up a ton of yards on the ground. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to bludgeon you in the running game and pick you apart in the passing game.
Tim Kalishaw?
Not going to be the defenses. Pittsburgh's defense, a little bit of a mirage with some of the teams they've played, Giants and Broncos and Texans and struggling teams. Tennessee's going to win the game. Too much firepower.
Spain?
I was going to say the Titans because of my gut, but that's not a very good reason to pick a team. And when I started to get into the defenses and what they do, well, the Titans lead the league in trying to use play action. The Steelers defend the play action better than any other team. The Steelers points-wise have been so high, and the Titans defense hasn't stopped anyone. So I think in the end it is the Steelers and not my gut.
And Bob Ryan.
Okay. I'm going with that second-ranked total defense of the Steelers and the quarterback who's quietly getting the job done once again.
All right. Thank you for the roller coaster of emotions there, Sarah Spain. I really like you playing out the entire...
Been here all show, really.
Just really wanted to go with your guy.
The water won't settle.
San Francisco, New England on schedule this week. Garoppolo's return to New England for the first time since the trade. And on the other side, Newton says he hasn't been good this season. So, Tim, who's got more to prove this week?
Oh, Jimmy G. I mean, he's the one who still has to prove the value of that contract. There were questions after the Super Bowl. There's a lot more questions this year. Cam's trying to find his way, but Garoppolo's the one with questions.
I'd much rather be in a position to have a big contract and have people be not sure if I deserve it than to have no contract after this year and have yet to prove that I deserve one. So it's Cam.
Bob Ryan.
Well, the neutrals would probably say, you know, it's a wash. One guy's going back home. The other guy needs to prove something. I say it's Cam. I think that Cam played very well in the first game. I said I'd take that 15 times over. We haven't seen anything close to that since. He's got to do something more like he did that first game.
Dano.
It's definitely Cam. Jimmy G has had one terrible start this year, and the other three starts, he's had a QB rating over 100. Cam was almost out of the league and is playing on a minimum contract. What are we talking about?
All right, what are we talking about in this game? How's this game going to be won, George?
The running game. I think that if you look at the Niners, they don't defend the run very well, 19th in the league.
This is a big deal for you. It's like George just started watching football in 1987, and he's just kept it there. Oh, the running game is the biggest thing. Kalishaw, how about you?
Well, we won't get into when I started to watch football, but San Francisco is a better team, and they're starting to get back to it. And it has nothing to do with Y.A. Tittle throwing to RCO.
All right, Bob.
Give me the 40.
Bounce back game for Cam, or you got San Francisco here?
I don't think the Niners, I think the Patriots will not be able to stop Kittle.
We'll move on. December 22, the targeted start date for the NBA season is what's being reported by Shams Charania. 72-game season it would be as well if it starts a couple days before Christmas. The NBA Board of Governors meeting today, and it's not agreed upon yet, but they're moving in that direction, Sarah. How's it all sound to you?
It makes sense to finish before the Olympics and not have to worry about that conflict. It makes sense to start without depending on attendance because we are not good at projections, and a lot of what happens in the next week or two might decide how our protocols affect whether we get back to action.
Bob Ryan, December 22 for the NBA restart.
Okay, that's fine, but I think too many games. I think 60 would have been a better number, and I think they need to do everything they can to try to get fans in, you know, with the contingency that if it doesn't work out, we have to pull them back.
George, December 22?
Tony, that sounds right. I think, in theory, that's where they'd like to start the season moving forward. In general, they can own Christmas week, and Adam Silver has shown he can be nimble if things need to change from the pandemic perspective.
There was some talk of Martin Luther King Day, which would be a whole month later. This is December 22? Does that surprise you a little bit earlier than you thought, Tim?
Yeah, it is earlier, and I hope it's right, and I hope they do it, and I hope they can find a way to get at least limited numbers of fans into these games. It makes an enormous difference.
Whoa, Sarah Spain, Bob Ryan, it seems like you guys came to today's show a little fatigued, like you almost were, you know, before the show, going at it. Hey, Bob, can I get you a Twix? Tim Kalischow, George Sedano, Showdown in 2 minutes. He had never heard of Twix until this week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Seahawks, Cardinals, Sunday, big in the division. Russell Wilson was talking about Antonio Brown this week, and he says Antonio Brown's been humbled. Is that an endorsement, George? And should it matter whether the Seahawks sign Brown?
I do think it's an endorsement, Tony, and I think it matters because he's the best player, but he also sees he needs self-preservation. Their defense is not very good, and they just want to load up on offense as best they can.
Sounds like an endorsement, but I still don't think it's a great fit for that team. I don't know if the leadership is ready to handle all that comes with Antonio Brown. Maybe he firmly believes it's true, but we got to see it.
Boyd Kalischow. Dallas, Washington this week. It's the second battle for first in this division this week. If you tolerated Eagles Giants, you'll tolerate this too. Gut feelings. That's what Ron Rivera said. He had when he made the quarterback change, kind of like Sarah Spain's gut feeling. Tim, what's your gut on Rivera's gut?
But Sarah Spain had the good sense not to go with her gut feelings and to go with the math and the numbers. And if I'm a Washington fan, I want something more than a defensive coach's gut reaction to a quarterback change.
Look, Tony, this is about self-preservation, too. Rivera knows there's not a lot of leeway with coaches for the Washington football team, and the division stinks. He says go with his gut because he doesn't think that kid's any good. And by the way, Urban Meyer didn't think he was ready for the NFL either.
Consider yourself unpreserved, George Sedano. Point, game time, FaceTime to Kalischow.
Oh, I think we can count on one hand the number of good things that have come out of this pandemic in 2020. Maybe the return of drive-in movies, maybe. Maybe not having to shake hands with strangers. I'm kind of fond of that one. But here's another one. We just lost the Holiday Bowl for this year. We just lost Bob Ryan's new Fenway Bowl. Teams were just dying to go play football game in Boston in January. We're going to lose a lot of bowls. There's way too many. Used to be 20. Now there's 40. Let's get it back down to the 20.
71 half hour break. See you Monday.